Retro Movies!
40 years ago, he was the hero of the day, until the system knocked him out of the skies.
Flying without a pilot's license. Wearing underwear in public.
40 years ago, he said he'd never fly again. And for good reason.
I couldn't even tell the good guys from the bad guys.
But when his country calls...
We need you badly, Captain Invincible. We need you now. Real badly.
When the evil Mr. Midnight threatens America.
Today, New York. Tomorrow, the world.
It's time for the return of Captain Invincible, the hero who's forgotten how to fly, how to use his amazing computer brain. Forgotten how to control his magnetic ability.
What the world needs now is a shining hero.
Oh, yes, we do.
What the world needs now is a glory man.
The return of Captain Invincible. Legend in leotards. Cape contender. And man of magnet.
Magnet on!
Fighting evil.
Well, that was really the pits. Congratulations, Captain. It seems that some of your old skills have not entirely deserted you.
I don't need any compliments from you, Midnight. I want the hypnoray, and I want it now.
Same old dreary demands. Self-righteous, messianic, moralistic, and increasingly tedious.
Fine talk from a sociopath, paranoid, schizophrenic with delusions of grandeur.
Thank you.
You'll never change.
And you will never win. Let's see. During our long association, you have changed brands quite a few times, haven't you? To begin with, it was Retsina, as I recall, with just a little dash of hemlock, and then your long flirtation with Cognac, during which you did rather overdo the Napoleon. And most recently, fine Kentucky bourbon.
Might I say that I'm old-fashioned, très fan ordinaire, that I want a fresh Manhattan with white Anglo-Saxons everywhere, a black Russians, no pink lady, give her the Singapore sling. A Moscow mule is not your baby, so highball the vodka and name your sting. Be a big shot with a bull shot. Be a swine, meet at a pine. Have a short or a port or a snort of any sort. Pasti spumante, uno chianti. Party fine. I got some economic hocks, a gin and tonic on the rocks, where angels fear to tread. I say, choose your booze, let's hit the red eye. Think of young Deanna Durbin and how she sung on rum and bourbon. Or enhance your luncheon hour with a planter's punch and a whiskey sour. If you feel like a wreck, try a horse's neck or a sherry with a cherry in the new fine size. If you don't name your poison, I'll have to get the boys in. The spirit of adventure opens one's eyes. If you don't name your poison, I'll have to get the boys in. And you'll never see another tequila sunrise. Live happily ever after, with a Chablis and some laughter. Between the sheets is lovely, with a dizzy blonde and a bottle of bubbly. There's nothing sicker in society than a lack of liquor and sobriety. So, down the hatch, here's mud in your eye. Take a bracer with a chaser, wash it down with rye. Bottoms up, stirrup cup, it'll put you in the pink. And all you have to do is drink, 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 drink.
That was the legendary Christopher Lee singing Name Your Poison from Philip Morris' 1983 classic, The Return of Captain Invincible. Is it a classic? Well, I think so. It makes me laugh every time I see it, which is pretty good for a comedy. It has many flaws, but tell me a film that doesn't. Steven D'Souza wrote most of the dialogue between 48 Hours and Commando, and the songs are pretty cool in a Rocky Horror kind of way, which is quite interesting as Richard O'Brien wrote them. Alan Arkin is nothing short of stunning as the Man of Magnet, and Christopher Lee as a ball as Mr. Midnight. Terry Pratchett once said it was a series of bad moments pasted together with great songs and a budget of 4 pence. He loves it, as do I. Welcome to the Retro Movies Podcast. I'm Colin Hives, and I'm going to try and loosely guide you through a series of trailers and music which may or may not rock your boat. Right, Philip Mora. What can I say about Philip Mora, the director of Captain Invincible? Well, he directed the nutty Mad Dog Morgan with Dennis Hopper, The Amazing Beast Within with Ronnie Cox, and Christopher Walken's pretty wacky Communion. But one of his movies changed a lot of people's lives forever, especially those unlucky enough to see it in the cinemas. A film so shocking that a lot of people actually lost faith in movies. Two words that strike fear and dread into the hearts of horror fans around the world, even to this day. Howling 2. Okay, one word and a number. So, here's the 1984 follow-up to Captain Invincible, which wasn't Howling 2.
Don't come back here.
On Cherokee Island lives a man whose life is a secret and whose soul is a fortress. Only two people can reach him.
You mind?
A woman who desires him.
He never even touched me.
And a man who may betray him.
This island is private.
Look, I don't have any guns. I don't have any traps.
Keep away from the mountain.
And by taking these eggs, this rare breed will become extinct.
I trusted you.
$250,000.
To your funeral.
How did you get here?
Who are you?
Alone, each is a force of nature.
They're coming here to kill you!
Oh, your island, where you play God to all the animals.
You claim you know everything about nature, all about life. You don't know nothing.
Together, they are a breed apart. Rutger Hauer. Powers Booth.
Well, I'll be good.
Kathleen Turner. A breed apart.
Yes, an action movie about the robbery of bald eagle eggs. Yes. It was written by Paul Wheeler, who wrote Bergerac, Van der Valk, The Professionals, and Dempsey and Makepeace. He really should have stayed in telly. He also wrote The Medallion for Jackie Chan some years later. He really, really should have stayed in telly. Rucker is fab as usual, Powers Booth is Powers Booth, and Kathleen Turner can't act. The best thing in it? Mr. Donald Pleasence in his I'll do anything for the money face. So, linking to our next piece, see what I'm doing here, Donald played Isaac Cumber in 1970's Soldier Blue. So here's a wonderful musical interlude.
I look out and I see a land, young and lovely, hard and strong. For
15,000 years we've danced your praises, prayed our thanks, and we've just begun. This is my country, young and growing, free and flowing sea to sea. Yes, this is my walks the high country, giving free wild samples and setting an example how to give. Yes, this is my country, wrenching and turning like a baby, learning how to live. I can stand upon a hill at dawn, look all around me, feel her surround me, souls aglow. Can't you see her life has just begun? It's beating inside us, telling us she's here to guide us. Ooh, souls aglow. Another way to love her.
You can almost smell the rape and decapitation. That was Soldier Blue from 1970, Ralph Nelson's Cheyenne Cavalry Massacre film, starred Candice Bergen and Peter Strauss. It was banned in many countries and cut in even more countries. The song was a huge hit for Buffy St. Marie, and it had Roy Budd's first score. Ralph Nelson also directed our next little item.
You'd be jeopardizing your career, your whole life.
The results could be worth it.
Nothing is worth going to jail for.
I'm not asking for anything that has a chance for life on its own. 20 years' work is beginning to take shape.
The development rate is now approximately 1 year to each 24-hour period. February 16, 2 p.m. Rapid growth, still uncontrolled. Rate now about 2 years for every 24-hour period. My God, will it ever end?
Her name is Victoria, and she has just been born.
8 and 8 are 16. 16 and 16 are 32.
I want to learn. To experience. Will you teach me?
You're in pain. I'm here to help you, Victoria.
I don't want to kill. I don't want to kill. I just want to live.
Ah, lovely. The Rock having sexual relations with an adult fetus who turns psycho. So many wrong things in that sentence. It's not the greatest movie ever made, but it is a bit mad. And we like mad. Hudson looks bored as hell. Roddy McDowall does his greatest Roddy McDowall impression. Jack Colvin doesn't make anyone angry. Diane Ladd tries to stop things from going bad. And Barbara Carrera is pretty gorgeous. Talking of Barbara.
There's not going to be any evacuation.
Another non-believer. Won't they ever learn?
Only this guy's problem is a small matter of a very active volcano.
This thing's a powder keg.
Well, I think that's a damned irresponsible conclusion on your part.
Oh, well, then perhaps there's still time for a little passion in paradise. That's some kiss. Passion that really sparks. But this sucker makes Mount St. Helens look like a kid's sparkler.
Well, I think that's a damned irresponsible conclusion on your part.
You said that already. Paul Newman, Jacqueline Bisset, William Holden, James Franciscus, Alex Karras, Pat Morita. Excuse me, don't we have any other explosions? Thank you. Burgess Meredith and Hill Street's Veronica Hamill. They were all having a good time when time ran out.
That was the great Don LaFontaine taking the piss out of Irwin Allen's When Time Ran Out. He wasn't the only one. Paul Newman played Hank Anderson. Now, if you're born with a name like Hank Anderson, you just know you're going to be destined for greatness. A big volcano erupts, William Holden ignores all the warnings, and Jacqueline Bisset looks good. As usual with this kind of film, a cast of well-known faces appear in between better films. Burgess Meredith, Ernest Borgnine, and Red Buttons turn up to add a little poster depth. Even Pat Morita shows his face. Newman looks embarrassed while delivering lines like, "It's bad down here, but it's even worse up there." And the immortal, "This thing's like a powder keg." All round crap. Newman followed this with the great Fort Apache the Bronx. Thank God. James Goldston never directed a movie again and was relegated to TV. Damn shame that. He did direct Roller Coaster though 3 years earlier. So let's have a little ride.
Get ready for the thrill of your life. Now, Universal plunges you into a mystery at the speed of sound. Roller Coaster. Accident in California.
Less two accidents in 1 week. Who's putting the lid on this? The police?
A recording from a stranger.
Get on the ride, Harry.
A drop in Virginia.
Harry.
Yeah.
Remember what happens when you don't follow directions.
And a man in the middle on the ride of his life.
They're over the lift. It's too late to stop them now.
Let's go.
Coaster. We'll be right back.
That was Lalo Schifrin scoring the heartwarming story of Timothy Bottoms, who plants radio-controlled bombs in amusement parks. Another all-star cast, including Henry Fonda, Richard Widmark, George Siegel, and Harry Gordino, try and make sense of it all. Steve Guttenberg delivers some plans in his film debut, and Helen Hunt looks about 10. She was actually 13. More excuses for Lalo.
Dirty Harry is at it again in Sudden Impact.
What you doing, you pig-eared sucker?
You boys, put those guns down.
Say what?
We're not just gonna let you walk out of here.
Who is we, sucker?
Smith, Wesson, and me. Go ahead. Make my day. Make my day.
Clint Eastwood, Dirty Harry, Sudden Impact.
4th outing as Harry, and his last good one. Bradford Dillman plays a different captain than he did in The Enforcer. Sandra Locke was gang-raped as a teen and is hell-bent on revenge. It was the biggest hit of the Dirty Harry movies, and was Clint's only directing task on the series. Harry has no partner, and it wasn't set in San Francisco. Joel Cox edited the movie just like he did on a ton of other Clint epics. He also edited our next little gem. Contrived a lot.
Things are very quiet in Death Valley these days. In fact, you can go for miles without spotting a corpse. However, if you're patient, something or somebody is bound to turn up. Take this loving couple, for instance. I wouldn't get too fond of them if I were you, because they won't be around very long.
No. Please, no.
A pity. They seem so nice. This is Billy. He has a big problem for such a little person. He can identify the killer. And the killer can identify Billy. Now this chap is the local sheriff. The sheriff is wondering who is behind that door. Unfortunately, he is. Death Valley is full of little surprises.
I'm dancing on the roof, and there ain't nothing you can do about it.
Death Valley, quite fashionable as a last resort.
Death Valley. It's a cracking little movie about a serial killer who terrorizes a young couple and the dirt bike kid. Wilford Brimley plays a sheriff, the hugely underrated Stephen McCarthy outshines everyone as usual, and it's really well made by Dick Richards of March or Die fame. It was written by Richard Rothstein, who also wrote Universal Soldier. They also wrote our next item.
This is Rachel Foster. Dazzling. Defiant.
Sheriff, he's trying to cheat me.
Destined to be free. But somewhere up ahead, someone was waiting.
Mo? Anybody home?
Summer and Edwin Brown present the Gregory Goodell film, Human Experiments.
This just might be what we've been waiting for.
Came in to use the phone. My car got stuck. I
see your stay here rather as a short stop along the road, a place to heal and rebuild.
On the table, please.
In 6 months, she'll be a different human being. These things happen, even in the best of prisons.
What happened to Rachel Foster was the ultimate fear. Human experiments. It began as a venture and became a nightmare of unrelenting terror.
Who's there?
It's awfully cold for them down there.
Rita's dead.
You can't tell anyone.
Hi, baby.
Somewhere between medicine and witchcraft. Somewhere between justice and vengeance. Somewhere between progress and the unthinkable. Someone is performing human experiments. Human experiments. Someone is performing.
A demented prison doctor performs gruesome shock therapy experiments on inmates. You just love a comedy. It was on the Video Nasties list for a while, but nobody knows why. John Travolta's sister's in it, Linda Haynes from Coffee and Rolling Thunder stars, and Jeffrey Lewis is great as the evil Dr. Hans Klein. Jeffrey Lewis was in more stuff than Donald Pleasance. He was also in the following.
A sensational crime. An airtight alibi.
We can't lay a finger on this guy.
And a chain of evidence.
Bring him in.
Charles Bronson is a cop looking for a killer, and he's running out of time.
Go ahead, take me in. You can't punish me.
When the guilty go free,
the
system is the crime.
I want a killer, and what I want comes first.
Well, how come I've never heard him mention a daughter?
It seldom crosses his mind that he has one.
He's one angry man with someone to protect.
How long are you with your father?
Don't argue with that.
He can make a difference.
You like hurting girls?
I won't answer that.
Girls won't have anything to do with you, but you get back at them, don't you?
I won't listen to your filth.
Gotta remind you about evidence obtained under duress. It's inadmissible, Leo.
We got no evidence and we can't hold this kid.
He's our man, Captain. I'm gonna get him. Found some blood.
He's lying. There was no blood on my clothes and he knows it.
How do you plead, Warren?
Guilty or not guilty?
Not guilty.
The last thing I want to do is get involved with a cop.
Well, I don't blame you. Leo, I went back to the lab and I talked to the technician. And I asked him if you...
Why didn't you ask me?
Is that true, Lieutenant? You planted the evidence.
You know why.
We could nail him sooner or later.
After counting how many more dead.
He had to be stopped.
After all the evidence is in, he'll reach his own verdict and execute the sentence by the deadline. When there is no justice, this man is the law. 10 to midnight. Charles Bronson, Lisa Eilbacher, and Andrew Stevens in a Golan Globus production of a J. Lee Thompson film. 10 to midnight.
Charles Bronson and J. Lee Thompson again? God, Jill Isler must have been one worried woman. She's just about gotten over his affair with Michael Winner. Charlie had plastic surgery to play Leo Kesler. He was 61 at the time. And he's after rapist and murderer Gene Davis. Not to be confused with Gina Davis, which would have made a completely different film. Wilford Brimley plays Bronson's captain. Jeffrey Lewis is great again. Andrew Stevens shows his complete lack of talent once more. Robert Ragland supplied the score. And Cannon produced. Sorry, that might happen a lot. Mr. Golan sold the picture without a script as great action and great danger with great revenge. Well, I would have bought it, and seven people die. Magnificent Seven writer William Roberts wrote the script, just like he did to our next film.
The piece you saw was won by a car that was bought, torn apart, rebuilt, and driven by me.
His name is Junior Jackson. Instead of a white stallion, he rides a black Mustang. He learned about cars, running whiskey in the Carolina Hills.
You set your evidence on fire.
He wiped out the pack in the demolition derby.
Get him. Hit him. Make a move on me, I'll rip his lip off, give it to you for a key ring.
He tore up the track in the grueling Hickory 500.
What's the prize money?
1,000 plus extras.
Well, invite me in. You look gorgeous.
Well, you ain't seen nothing yet. Wait till I put my shoes on.
The Last American Hero. Rated PG.
That was Jeff Bridges in 1973 as a NASCAR driver. As an amazing cast including Ned Beatty, Gary Busey, Ed Lauter and William Smith. Lots of cars go really, really fast, and it's based on articles by Tom Wolfe. Lamont Johnson went on to direct Space Hunter, The Adventures in the Forbidden Zone. Oh, go on then.
In 2 weeks, Columbia Pictures will present 3D as you've never seen it before. The first quality 3D film backed by a major studio. The first to use a new state-of-the-art 3D process. This is Space Hunter, Adventures in the Forbidden Zone. It's the story of three unlikely heroes. Their destination, the Forbidden Zone. Their mission, save three stranded women.
I like her.
Their chances, one in a million.
I'll take that bet.
Columbia Pictures presents outer space as you've never seen it before. The ultimate 3D experience.
Can't anything be simple anymore?
Space Hunter, Adventures in the Forbidden Zone. In 3D, the first movie that puts you in outer space. Rated PG. Coming soon to a theater near you.
We'll be right back. Soldier Blue, The Breakfast Club Girl, and Zedmore from Ghostbusters star. Elmer Bernstein composed a fantastic score, as if you couldn't tell. The great Frank Tardy shot it, and Oscar winner Scott Conrad edited it. He did Rocky. Ivan Reitman was executive producer, and it's a fun little movie you can watch over and over again. It was in 3D, but I enjoy Metal Storm more. Just me. Actually, I enjoy Friday the 13th Part 3 more. That was in 3D as well. And now I'm just rambling. Jaws 3 was in 3D. The truly great Michael Ironside plays Evil Overdog. Mr. Ironside.
I would like to scan all of you in this room, one at a time. I must remind you that the scanning experience is usually a painful one, sometimes resulting in nosebleeds, earaches, stomach cramps, nausea, sometimes other symptoms of a similar nature. At this point, I'd like to call for volunteers. Fine. Just sit right here, please. Now, I'd like you to think of something specific.
Do I have to close my eyes?
It doesn't matter.
All right, yes, I have something.
Yes.
Terrific theme from Howard Shore. Cronenberg's classic was shot in Quebec in 1980 and released in 1981. Ironside is simply stunning as usual. I mean, as usual. There isn't a film that he isn't stunning in. Patrick McGowan hams it up. Stephen Lack returned in Cronenberg's Dead Ringers. Director of photography Mark Irwin shot The Protector and Dumb and Dumber. Dick Smith did the incredible effects. And Jennifer O'Neill looks really, really confused. She was really, really good at that. Like the next film.
A force of one. What happened? happen forces Jennifer O'Neill into black belt action. With Chuck Norris, Phil Wallace, Clue Gallagher, Ron O'Neill, and one whole city's police force.
One of them could stand 10 feet away and dust him off with a piece, right?
Unless the killer hit before they saw him. I mean, an expert in martial arts, hand-to-hand combat. Somebody who could kill with their bare hands and not leave a mark.
A force of one. It starts with a routine search. It ends with a trail of bodies.
Smack. We got coke. We got uppers. We got downers. We got acid. We got pot. We got angel dust. We got it.
I think some guy was falling.
The junkies are having a field day, and the cops are out in force. But in this business, you need eyes in the back of your head.
The bruise is so deep that there was internal hemorrhage. In other words, they strangled in their own blood.
Lieutenant, there's an epidemic going on.
Whoever did this is as good as dead.
The whole essence of what we do is a philosophy of discipline.
A force of one. A blue steel force that beats out the bad guys' guns and knives.
Matt! Stop!
A force of one. He's got to make his next shot his best shot because he doesn't get another chance. A force of one. He hears the silence. He sees the darkness. He's the only one who can stop the killing. Jennifer O'Neill, Chuck Norris, in A Force of One.
Chuck Norris plays Matt Logan, a karate expert, which must have been a real stretch for Chuck. He wears a leather jacket with patches, and it made $20 million at the box office. The film. Not the leather jacket. He fights Bill the Superfoot Wallace, and it's great. I think I'd like a middle name like Superfoot. Superfinger. Thumb. Cops are being killed by karate guys in a drug-based story. Clue Gulger is super, Ron O'Neill is super, and Jennifer O'Neill plays Mandy Rust, which sounds like it's her first pet and her mother's maiden name. Dick Halligan did the music for this. He also did the music for The Octagon, also known as The Octagon. Paul Aaron directed it, and he also directed Deadly Force.
Everybody wants a piece of Stoney Cooper. The cons.
Go back to your nice big apple, okay?
The cops.
The day I took your badge was the last time I ever wanted to see your face.
His wife.
You just can't walk in here and take over again. You can't do that. You're not Super Cop anymore.
But somewhere in the shadows, the psychopath wants him dead. Deadly Force. Wings Hauser, the star of Vice Squad, is Stoney Cooper. You don't call him in. You turn him loose.
You're dead.
I don't carry a badge anymore, remember? And as you well know, I deliver.
This is real dynamite.
And this is a real gun.
Who can stop a killer when the law stops short?
What do you got so far?
Exactly nothing.
Do you have any leads? The guy used the same M.O.?
No, or? Sometimes he's just not. Sometimes ice pick strangulation. I didn't say I'd help you on this.
When the cops can't and the courts won't, he'll give you justice.
Terrific.
You can't cool him off. Scare him off. Tear him off. You'll have to kill him off. Because when he goes out for vengeance, he goes all the way.
God, no, we're not gonna make it!
We're gonna make it!
The movie that takes you right to the edge. and keeps right on going. Deadly force. When nothing else will do.
It's 1983 and Wings Hauser is Stoney Cooper, ex-cop. Don't you just love an original story? A serial killer is terrorising LA and Wings is hired to stop him. Hauser's quite tame after his tour de force Vice Squad stint. Estelle Getty is a taxi driver, which is just plain weird. Lincoln Kilpatrick is Otto Hoxley, which is a name I'll be using from now on. Sandy Howard produced Cross of Iron, Jaguar Lives, Vice Squad, and wanted to make a superstar of Hauser. Didn't work. Great score by Gary Scott, who also did the following.
At Lanier College, they have the finest security, the best teacher-student relations, no fraternity hazing, strictly enforced curfews.
Shh. What was that?
And a killer. He's come back. Final exam.
When are you going to realize that the whole world isn't made of psychopaths?
He's a murderer around campus, killing people.
Some may pass the test.
Lisa!
God help the rest. He's come back.
Psycho Killer on a School Campus. Nobody of Interest stars. It was made for 60 grand. Jimmy Houston directed Death Driver and My Best Friend's a Vampire. But he hit big time when he co-authored the screenplay for the following.
Let me tell you something. When you've been cops this long, you are not fit for anything else.
We're looking for some new career challenges.
Yeah, something with a future. Show me another career they let you shoot people. Give us your money.
You're mugging us?
I don't believe this.
You better believe it or you're dead. Oh, come on. Let us keep the driver's licenses and the snapshots.
And our badges.
I can't believe that you missed all six shots.
What are you talking about? I hit the windshield six times in a row.
I'm the one who made him swerve.
Oh, you made him swerve?
Yes, sir.
You always aim low anyway.
Oh, good. Nagging me now. Nagging is good. You owe me $10 and I never said anything.
You want it now?
Yeah, I want it now.
Did I come at a bad time?
Follow that car!
Well, now you're gonna criticize my driving?
Well, it's just that you get to do all the dangerous stuff and I get to parallel park.
I love this job.
Terrific Peter Himes comedy with Crystal and Hines having a blast. Co-written by Jimmy Houston, Gary DeVore, who penned Dogs of War and Raw Deal. Joe Pantoliano and Dan Hedaya are brilliant. Jimmy Smith turns up. It was produced by David Foster and Lawrence Terman of The Thing fame. Himes shot it all himself, as usual, and it had a huge hit single by Michael McDonald. The score was by Rod Temperton. Well, we started with a song, so we'll end with a song. It's the other theme from Running Skirt, and it's by Fee Waybill from The Tubes. I'm Otto Hoxley. See you later.